Our next case is 13-473, Docs Venture LLC versus Dashing Pacific Group Limited. Sitting in the place of Justice O'Neill is Judge Kathleen Keough from the 8th District. For the appellant, Mr. Potts. Yes.
Chief Judge Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, I'm John Potts. I'm here on behalf of Docs Ventures. Pursuant to a certified conflict, and the conflict that has been certified is in a contempt of court action. Is the trial court's judgment finding a party in contempt and imposing a sentence, a final and appealable when the sentence is imposed, albeit with purge conditions, or when the defendant has failed to purge his contempt and the sentence is executed? I believe that the answer to that question is found in Ohio Revised Code Section 2505024, which says, that in order that grants or denies a provisional remedy into which both of the following apply is final and appealable. And the two criteria are, A, the order in effect determines the action with respect to the provisional remedy and prevents a judgment in the action in favor of the appealing party with respect to the provisional remedy, and B, the appealing party would not be afforded a meaningful or effective remedy by appeal following final judgment as to all proceedings, issues, claims, and parties in the action. Here we have a civil case for breach of a lease with a counterclaim, and there was an order made specifically enforcing a lease provision. The order was not followed. There was a finding of contempt for failure to do what the court had ordered the dashing Pacific to do, and they were found in contempt, but they were allowed to purge their contempt by doing the work the way the work had been ordered by the court to be done.
Counsel, if we can talk about the terms, I'm over here.
Okay.
If we can talk about the terms of the order, my concern is your argument that there was no substantial right at issue. Wasn't there a fine of
$1,000? I can see that there was a substantial right.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not disputing that. What I am arguing is that the order did not in effect determine the action. And would not until a purge hearing was held. In VL Laser Systems versus Shiloh Industries, this court held that for an order to determine the action, it must dispose of the merits of the case or some separate and distinct branch thereof and leave nothing for determination by the court. When a party is held in contempt and a sentence is imposed subject to purge conditions, there's nothing further to be done for determination of the court. The court still has to determine whether the purge conditions have been met. So that's why the order that imposes as a sentence for contempt subject to purge conditions should not be held to be final and appealable. The case is not over. The contempt action is not over.
Did the court set a date for the installation of the separate utility meters for the two restaurants?
It did.
What date was set?
I believe the court gave the...
A 30-day period or a specific month?
Yeah, it gave it a specific number of days, and that was 30 days, but they got an extension of that.
Yes, and then... And then the $1,000 fine was $1,000 per day.
Per day.
The requirements were not met.
Correct.
So why wouldn't that be a final order of a court?
Because the court still would have to determine if the party ordered to make the changes to the utility services had done so to purge their contempt.
So the question really is, when can the appeal be filed?
Exactly.
Can you file the appeal immediately when the court says, here's the contempt, but you have the conditions to follow? Can you appeal it then, or do you have to wait until the period is over and see if the conditions are met and then appeal?
That is the issue. Okay. And most courts of appeals seem to be saying, well, if sentence is imposed, you don't have to wait till you wait for a purge hearing to appeal. You can appeal at that point. That's, I don't really understand why the order should be held to be final and appealable at that point. What could happen? And let's use a domestic relations case, for example, where some child support or alimony obligor is recalcitrant, they're held in contempt, told to make payment within X number of days, and they appeal, and it's affirmed. Then they come back for a purge hearing. They say, well, I can't afford to pay. I want to raise an impossibility of performance defense, which is an available defense contempt of court, and there's a hearing held, and the court finds that it is possible for the obligor to perform, and he appeals a second time. A rule that allows for that type of piecemeal appeal doesn't seem to be a sound rule. Now, the argument's been made that if you make somebody violate the order and not take advantage of the purge conditions before they're allowed to appeal, they have no meaningful remedy by way of appeal. But I submit that's not so. You can get a stay. The same way you have to get a stay if you're going to appeal the order at the time the sentence is imposed. Say the order we have here to make correction in the utility service is by X date or within 30 days. If you want to appeal that, you have to get a stay of that purge date, which is not hard to do. If the requirement for an order to be final and appealable is that you have to not purge and have the sentence executed before you appeal, the procedure would be the same. Then you ask for a stay of execution.
So, Mr. Potts, in your view, if we were to find in your favor, we would avoid the possibility of having two appeals.
Exactly.
Because the stay, if there were conditions like within 30 days, you could say, we are requesting a stay for 30 days. Would you then ask the court for a new order if you wish to avoid those conditions? Would you ask for a new order from which you could appeal then? Or would you say that you just wait the 30 days out and then appeal?
You wait the 30 days out. You don't purge, and you come back to court and you say, "Your Honor, we're not going to do what we've been ordered to do, because we want to go up on appeal. Will you impose sentence or will you order sentence executed now, but stay the execution pending appeal?"
Mr. Potts, could you refer to the Liming case versus Damus? I know that opposing counsel has recited some language from that case. It was a contempt hearing. We observed at one point, we said, at the initial contempt hearing, the parent will have had the opportunity to defend against the contempt charges and otherwise object to or appeal from a finding of contempt and any purge conditions.
I believe you wrote the opinion of the court in that case, and that case also says that the purge hearing is just a continuation of the original contempt hearing. That was a domestic case. It's not entirely clear that the language about right to appeal is appeal to the Court of Appeals or appeal of the magistrate's decision on objections.
And that case didn't really address this particular issue.
But I was going to get there. Yeah, this issue was not before the court in that case, so that would be dictum.
We had the issue before us in the Gautier case, and we improvidently accepted that. Is that correct?
I saw that, yes.
All right. So this is the same issue that we had then?
Yes. Different context, but same issue. There's no litany of horrors that will befall a contemnor who's required to not comply with the purge conditions before they appeal, because they can get a stay of execution in order to perfect the appeal. The same way they have to get a stay of the time to purge to appeal before execution of sentence. And if the court has no questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you. Mr. Chilka.
Thank you, Your Honor. Chief Justice O'Connor, members of the court, may please the court. I think Justice Langersinger has it right. The issue is, when can you appeal a contempt finding? That's solely what's before this court. This is an unusual case because it involves a commercial lease. All of the lower court cases involve divorce cases where a husband or a wife is ordered to do something within a certain amount of time or go to jail. And those simply need to be appealed immediately, in our view, and that's what most of the district courts, lower courts, have held. the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, 9th, and 12th. Only the 11th is held differently.
Is that because those are criminal cases and here we're talking about a civil matter?
No, those are civil matters. Those are domestic and many of them involve penalties, either, you know, pay this amount by such and such a date or you'll have to go to jail for 30 days.
We're talking about civil contempt. We're not talking about anything.
That's correct.
Even though jail is a possibility.
That's correct. There's still civil contempt. Okay. Also, there's a specific difference between the contempt hearing and the purge hearing. The contempt hearing is meant to decide whether or not the actions or inactions of a party are subject to contempt because he's violated or they violate a court order. That's what we're appealing. We believe the basis for the lower court's ruling that we were in contempt was wrong, that he was erroneous. The purge hearing is simply whether or not we complied with the contempt order. And that's all that's at issue at the purge hearing. So to say that you have to wait until the purge hearing to appeal whether or not the contempt finding was right is simply improper. And many of the orders that we've seen in these cases are long-term. Sometimes the court will give you 6 months to do it. Sometimes they'll give you a whole year to do it. And yet you may want to argue that the contempt finding itself was wrong. And I think that's what the majority of the district courts have said, is that we should be allowed to appeal that immediately.
Are you disagreeing that there could be situations where multiple appeals would result from something like this?
They would be different appeals.
But it would be more than one appeal.
Yes,
you would first appeal the contempt finding itself, and then later on, if there was at the purge hearing, it wasn't accomplished, there could be an appeal there as well.
Yes.
Whereas Mr. Potts is suggesting that it all could be folded into one.
And I, again, because of the timing, I believe that's an improper way of doing it. The first appeal would simply be whether or not the contempt finding was proper.
But why can't you wait until the period of a condition is not met and then have the entire thing resolved by the Court of Appeals?
You could wait, but I just don't believe that's a proper way of doing it, and I think that's what the district courts have said. Let's deal with the contempt finding first, because again, the purge hearing is separate. It just, did I comply with what you ordered me to do? The contempt finding has to have a basis. Why did you not do something in that? So I don't believe that you're going to have, you can have multiple appeals, but I don't believe that it's likely, and if you do, I think that's what the difference in the hearings is meant to be. You have multiple appeals all the time in different types of cases, and I don't think that that's a justification for prohibiting someone from appealing the basis for a contempt finding immediately after it's done. And that's what the lower courts have said. The majority.
Are you familiar with how the federal courts deal with this question?
I am not, Your Honor.
All right. But your view is that there are two separate questions. The first one is, are you in contempt or was the contempt properly entered?
Right.
The second one is, did you comply with what the court had ordered you to do?
Right. The second one is, after we found in contempt and they put a purge order out there that you have to do something within a certain amount of time, all the purge hearing has said, did I comply with that purge order? That's all. That's a whole separate issue than the initial issue of whether I was in violation of the order itself.
Where do you have the defense of impossibility?
That's at the purge hearing, Your Honor.
That's at the purge hearing. It's not at the contempt. In other words, I'm not in contempt, your order, because, you know, I didn't willfully choose not to do it.
Right.
It was an impossibility.
Well, I don't think you argue impossibility at the contempt hearing. I think at the contempt hearing you argue that there's no basis to find me in contempt because I've done everything that I'm supposed to have done. And if I'm found in contempt and you apply this sentence to me that I have to do something within 30 days, I come back in 30 days and say, it's impossible for me to do it at the purge hearing. I don't think you do that at the contempt.
So there's two steps that could, and you need time in order to validate each step.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's our position on this point. And I think that's what the majority of the district courts have said. Our position is that you should follow that majority of those district courts and affirm what the Sixth District Court of Appeals said. The other thing, we were placed in a bad position here because our Sixth District Court of Appeals said that if you don't appeal, you lose your right. If we had not appealed this within 30 days and waited to the purge hearing, Our Court of Appeals would have said you have no right to challenge the contempt citation. All you can challenge is the purge order.
Although if we rule in a different way and talk about the possibility of stay, that would not be a situation.
That is correct, Your Honor. But again, at the point that we were at, we had no choice. We were
Do you have any statute or rule that you're relying on position you're taking?
And we agree with Mr. Potts, 2505.02b4. Is the provisional remedy. We also believe 2505.02b1, which sets forth if it affects a substantial right, this penalty of $1,000 a day would have been we couldn't have complied with that. It would have destroyed our business. So that substantial property right we were in effect, and it decided the case. It essentially decided whether that was the issue, whether or not we had to separate these meters inside the facilities. Once we complied with that order, we can't undo it.
Although, did it really decide the case, or was it 30 days later when it was either done or not done that decided the case?
It forced us to make a choice as to whether or not, if we complied, it decided the case. We wouldn't have an available appeal. If we didn't decide, then we faced the subject of the penalty, or whether or not we would have to run in the court at that point in time, seek the stay that Mr. Potts is. We could have sought the stay at any time. We could have sought the stay on the appeal immediately. That I don't think that's an issue as to whether or not a stay would be a proper or not. I think a stay could have been done at either stage of these proceedings.
Has the underlying matter been resolved? Have the utilities been separately metered?
It's not part of the record, Your Honor, but they have been separated.
And so this question is something we need to resolve for appellate districts, and we need to include the question of whether or not there's a waiver in the event we decide that you don't waive the right to the contempt as the Sixth District would have.
I don't know that you needed a waiver there, Judge, because what the Sixth District said is because the purge hearing occurred 30 days after the contempt issue, that the contempt issue was a final appealable order under their reasoning. So you had 30 days to appeal it. The purge hearing occurred, I think, in that case, like 45 days afterwards. And they said you couldn't go back and challenge the contempt order.
Because you waived it because you didn't appeal it.
Exactly. So if you rule as Mr. Potts would have you rule, I don't think that issue would exist anymore. So,
thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
I do know how the federal courts deal with this. I think the court will be surprised to learn if there's a civil contempt order made in a pending civil case. That's not a final appealable order until final judgment is entered. If the contemnor is a party, if the contemnor is a non-party, then they have to violate the purge condition in order to appeal. The other thing that happens if the contempt finding without violation of the purge condition is held to be a final appealable order is that the trial judge can't modify the purge conditions except through Civil Rule 60B. When you have a complicated purge requirement, sometimes there's logistical problems that arise that might make it helpful for the court to say, okay, we ordered you to do X, Y, and Z, but we see that you're having difficulty complying, and maybe the order was ill-considered, so you have to do X and Y, but not Z. They can't do that if the contempt finding with an imposition of sentence is held to be final and appealable because a trial court can't modify a final appealable order except through Rule 6XDB. To hold the way Mr. Choka would ask the court to hold would be similar for a defendant who's had a summary judgment granted against them on liability only be allowed to appeal that because they don't agree. and they don't want to wait for a damages judgment to be entered. We don't allow, or historically have not allowed, those kinds of interlocutory appeals here in Ohio. And I see no reason why we should allow that in a contempt context. I mean, the contempt proceeding ain't over until it's over. And it's not over until the purge hearing has been held. And at that point, you have a final appealable order, and I would ask this court to so hold.
Thank you very much.
The conflict that way.
Thank you.
Thank you,
gentlemen. We will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision.